was going 7 years ago.
Ask not what your husband can do for you.
Ask me the questions I won't know.
That the only thing we have to do is
to
Thanks for joining us here on History Bluffs. My name is Bob Nugent. I'm here with my co-host, David Britton.
You sure are, Bob.
And we have a great show for you today. Our guest is our second big-time guest that we've had on the show, president-wise.
They've all been good time.
Well, I'm talking American icons.
I can tell what you want. You wanted to be. Our guest is our second president, but he's not the second president.
Not John Adams, unfortunately. Our guest today, a very controversial president, someone whom was all over the place. Some people loved him, some people hated him. We're going to get the straight dope today.
I'm not going to say which side I was on, because I don't want to prejudice
anyone. Maybe we'll reveal that at the end.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our guest, President Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, President Reagan.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Now, what we'll do here on the show is we have a bunch of questions that David and I have researched, and we'll go through just to inform our listeners of who you are and what sort of person you were, and then we'll get you back to the afterlife. Does that sound good to you?
Sure.
Okay. Let's start at the beginning of your story, and why don't you tell us your birth date? What is your date of birth?
I was born 1910.
1910. How about a month and date?
I was born on March 22nd,
1910. March 22nd, 1910. And where were you born?
I was born, actually, in Bloomington, Indiana.
Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, lovely
yes.
town.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of it.
Yes, and it was not as populated. Well, it's still a fairly small town,
sure.
But back then I would say maybe the population was, I think, 15 people.
15, oh. That's low. That's
so
very
16
low.
When you came in, or 14 and then you came in?
Well, my parents, I was adopted, which I think most people are aware of that.
I had no idea. That's news to me.
I was adopted, yes.
Where did you come? Then where did you come from? Where did this babe appear?
Well, I lived in an orphanage.
Oh, I see.
Until I was 17.
17.
Yes.
That's very nice and forward-thinking of these people to adopt at 17.
Well, as you got older, it got harder. But
yeah.
I had a pretty good head of hair, and I was a good-looking kid, and probably made it a little easier for these people.
So these people were like, we want a good-looking young man. We don't want to be parents the whole, just a year.
In hindsight, you know, they were good parents, but they just wanted, you know, they wanted to just have the good-looking kid.
Of course.
Have this family that they wanted. So there I was.
Handsome as ever.
Well, I mean, I had a, you know, I don't want to be, you know, talking how good looking I was.
Well, Dave and I will do that for you. Well,
yeah.
Still good looking to this day, even dead.
Even dead.
Thank
still,
you.
Still very handsome.
Can I just, so there were 15 people in the town, but you're in an orphanage. I just want to clarify. I asked some clarifying
sure
questions.
Orphans are not officially counted on the census.
Is that true?
Well, it actually, how did you know that?
I run an orphanage on the weekends. It's volunteer work.
The orphanage that I was in was actually in Carlsberg, Florida.
Carlsberg, Florida,
yes,
orphanage.
Yes.
So these people, what were your parents' names?
My mom's name was Maureen.
Maureen.
And my dad's name was Paul.
Paul Reagan. Mm-hmm. They went down to, was Clearwater?
No. In Florida. What was the name?
What was the name of the town? I'm sorry. I blanked.
Carlsberg.
Carlsberg.
My bad. I get them mixed up all the time.
Carlsberg. They went down because there was an orphanage there.
Probably a good one, I would assume, if they're traveling,
you know,
days away.
My memories of the orphanages were not that great. I was treated a lot better than a lot of the other kids because I had my hair was so nice.
Of course, of course. And lived there until you were 17, so you were the number one kid.
I was, yes, I had my own room.
You were about to go pro, like, as an adult in a year, so.
Right, I had one more year left before I was
before
kicked out, and I got adopted.
Luckily, the Reagans came along and scooped you up, right?
Well, yeah, Maureen and Paul, you know, they're very special people. And not only that, but they took, you know, I had some brothers and sisters that were there also.
They took them as well.
They took all
that
of us.
That's generous.
There was
almost doubling the population of Bloomington, Indiana.
Well, we were the population of Bloomington together. No one lived in Bloomington then.
So you founded, or maybe not founded, but just sort of came into town and were like, okay, this is a town now.
Yes.
Because we're here.
Well, I had, they weren't all, you know, as to bring clarity to the story, my brothers, I had six brothers.
That's a lot.
Two sisters.
Okay.
And they adopted all of us. And then we had some friends And they took those too.
So they basically just moved the orphanage from Florida. Carlsberg, well, that
was the joke,
right? I see.
That was the joke. That's, we would always joke about that.
Like your parents, what did they
Maureen
do?
Maureen and Paul.
Maureen and Paul, of course. What did they do?
You know, I don't know how you say it. They actually opened up the first Dunkin' Donuts.
The first one.
Well, they were debutantes.
Oh, I see.
I see why it would take you a minute to figure out how to say that. How do you say Dunkin' Donuts?
Well, because a lot of people didn't realize they've been around that long.
Uh-huh.
There was a Dunkin' Donuts right across the street. There was a place, well, now everyone knows it, but back then they didn't, called the Red Lobster.
Oh, Red Lobster. Very popular.
Well, it's a huge chain now. Then
nowadays,
it was run out of a house.
Sure, yeah.
It was, and my parents, Paul and Maureen, they love Red Lobster. And that was the only thing that was in Bloomington.
Was a Red Lobster and a Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, they opened up the Dunkin' Donuts.
Of course, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you got 15 people. You don't need a lot. You need a place to eat breakfast and a place to eat dinner.
Right.
That's it.
I like to say if my town only had two restaurants, those might be my top two choices.
Yeah, coffee, breakfast sandwiches, and Cheddar Bay biscuits. Who could complain?
And that's funny because the Cheddar Bay biscuits were
yes,
my mom and dad's favorite. So they sort of knew the owners of the Red Lobster. And to this day, I'm the only one that has the recipe.
Or had, yeah.
I still have it.
Well, I assume it's with you in the afterlife.
Yes.
You took it with you. Yes. Buried, perhaps, with you. We'll get into that. Yeah.
There is somebody here in Bloomington that I gave it to before I died.
Oh, that's...
Okay. Do we get to know who it is, or is that probably...
Or is that just like a teaser?
Jonas.
Jonas Schrodt, comedian.
Jonas Schrodt.
Yeah, everyone loves him. He's a truth keeper. He can hold on to that and not spread it around so anybody can make it.
Well,
Knights of Templar, that guy.
Thank you.
Welcome.
As long as it doesn't tell anyone the recipe, I'm fine.
He won't do that.
And by the way, if my story seems sometimes, and I'm having a moment of clarity here right now, you know, my memory, mm-hmm. sometimes it's a little off, as you know.
I remember
know.
That from Iran, yeah.
Yes.
You remember what happened
of course,
towards
yes.
the end of my life. So yes. sometimes my memory is still.
Well, we are willing to go with you, you know, on whatever journey your mind takes you on, and we're here to document that. That's what we're here for.
Well, when I deal with the Alzheimer's, to be honest with you, it's embarrassing sometimes.
Of course, yes.
And I should level with you, the Dunkin' Donuts thing, I got a little nervous, and that was not a true story.
Well, I'll tell you what.
So no Dunkin' Donuts.
In the interest of fairness, I don't want you to contradict yourself, so we're going to believe whatever you got. So we're not going to question you. You were a sick man. That's totally fine.
I was the president of the United States.
You absolutely were. As a young boy, your father gave you the nickname Dutch. Why? What was the nickname Dutch? What was that about?
Well, that's a funny story. Dutch was the name of our dog.
Mm-hmm.
And
he nicknamed you after the dog.
He nicknamed me after the dog because the dog had this beautiful head of hair.
Oh, of course.
So the joke was, Dutch,
what
look
kind
at
of a
you.
Dog?
He was a Newfoundland.
A Newfoundland.
Yeah.
Very hairy
big
dogs.
Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, who went bald at a young age.
That's tragic.
Just on his head. This is a true story. I have pictures of it.
I believe you.
And he wore a toupee.
Oh.
So that's the joke about the hair.
So your dad was like, well, old Dutch, you know, had the hair. Now I've got Ronnie here. Going to call him Dutch, like the dog.
Right.
I wouldn't like that.
Would that get confusing, though, that you were both named Dutch? Would that like cause confusion? Like, Dutch, come here. And you wouldn't know if it was you or the dog who had to come in.
Well, that's funny because, yes, it was always the running joke of the house, like, mm-hmm. Dutch, sit. And then I would.
So why? Yeah.
Well, then he would sit when they told him to sit. And he,
right.
Yeah.
Be the dog.
Yeah.
I don't know what's confusing about that to you.
Take Dutch for a walk. I mean, that would be awkward as well. You know, you wouldn't want to.
Right. You guys understand.
You don't want to take children for walks.
No,
that's true.
Many of our listeners know of your work as an actor, a star, if you will, in Hollywood. Your first starring role was in a film titled Love is on the Air. Tell us what this film was about and what you did in the film.
Well, in the film, I was the first person to start a circus.
I see. Mm-hmm.
I started a circus with just kittens.
Just kittens?
Yes.
Okay.
Go to that.
And they'd fly around and we
what? Flying kittens?
Yeah, we'd shoot them out of cannons.
Whoa!
And it was amazing. I mean, to hear it sound, the kittens loved it. They would go flying through the
sure.
air.
Sure. Yes. That's
and people came from all around to see it. That's actually what put Bloomington on the map.
Was the Kitten Circus.
Was the Kitten Circus movie. Wow. Because they decided, we shot it there.
Made a movie about it. And,
and then we couldn't do it anymore.
What was the love? Love is on the Air is the name of the
title. I have questions too, but you please, we can go back.
Well, let's start with the title, Love is on the Air. What did that refer to?
You know, I never knew.
Okay.
I never knew. It's a good question. Yeah. I understand.
You'd call it like the flying kitty.
Well, I wanted to call it Juvenile Jungle, Flying Kittens.
Sure.
But they called it that for some reason, and the movie never ended up getting finished, as you know, because basically equivalent today, which they call the Humane Society.
Oh, right, PETA and the Humane Society. PETA,
back then, it was just one fucking crazy lady. Everybody thought she was crazy. You can't do that with the kittens. In hindsight, she was right. It wasn't
the ASCAP. Is that what? No, that's something different.
That's something. Yeah. I think that's for the Actors Union.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's a music thing or like,
whatever.
That's who.
What,
pays
did you have a question about Love Is on the Air?
Just a little. Were they? This is just a technical question, but the cannons, were they full size cannon or like special kitten
they
size?
They were. They actually were called kitten cannons.
Oh, like their name brand.
Yeah, and the kittens never got hurt. The kittens never got hurt.
I pictured one regular size cannon stuffed full of lots of kittens.
We did that. We did that sometimes.
Like the grand finale.
It was the grand finale. We shoved 35 kittens in one big canyon. One big canyon. And then they would. Shot them into the audience.
Oh, right.
And people were able to take the kittens home if they caught one.
That's amazing.
Well, there's one part that's embarrassing. I don't know if I should tell it. But hey, look, we make mistakes. People would start grabbing at the kittens.
Oh, no. That's. I don't know if that's embarrassing, but disgusting.
Disgusting is what I meant to say.
I mean,
disgusting.
I would be embarrassed to be part of
that. None of the kittens got hurt.
Oh, well, that's good.
I mean, we'd stopped it right away.
While you were in Hollywood, you were elected as the head of a very famous labor union. What was this organization that you were elected, I mean, essentially president of?
I'd rather not talk about that.
Well, I'm afraid we have to get the story out. I know you may be reluctant, but... Our listeners they want the secrets. They want the dirt.
What is your question exactly?
Is in Hollywood, while you were an actor, you were elected the head of a famous labor union that's associated with Hollywood. And we want to know what this organization was. It wasn't really a secret organization or anything like that.
Well, what do you know about it?
Well, I know that it's a majority of performers.
Right.
Have to be part of this.
And the reason I ask is I'm going to be honest. I think we could do both ourselves a service here. I'm always wondering what people think it is. There's so many misconceptions.
Yes.
People think it was this. People think it was that. And I never know what people think. Once I tell my story, whether they believe it or not, I don't know. But there are a lot of people that understand certain things about it. And I want to know what your perception is before I correct you.
Well, please correct me then.
Well, what was it that you thought?
Well, see, it's
could go on all day.
It's,
as far as I'm
it's
concerned.
Associated with working performers on the big screen, on the silver screen. There's a card involved.
Oh, well, that's you're right.
Yes.
So that exactly
what
that.
Is this organization
what
called?
You just said.
Yes. There's a card involved.
Oh, the SAG card.
Well, the SAG, yeah.
Well, right. I was the first person. Oh, you're talking about the to get health insurance for people in the.
No, I'm just asking about what the organization is called.
Oh, it was called SAG.
What is that? What does it stand for? Is that an acronym?
Yeah, it stands for. You know what? I don't remember. It's a little embarrassing.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine.
It's a little embarrassing.
No, it's fine.
Well, you know, it's Screen Actors Guild.
The Screen Actors Guild.
Oh,
that's,
the Screen
Actors Guild. Yeah. And what did this organization do? I mean, what was its
purpose? First, they were there to protect the kittens.
Oh,
there was
okay.
No SPCA.
Right. And now it's just, and then after that.
Now it was a lot of prostitutes.
Oh, okay.
That's quite a jump. That's a jump. It's a jump.
There was no turnover there, or like a crossover where it was like cat prostitutes or anything. I hope not. That would be.
Please try to
weird.
Keep in mind my memory.
Oh, okay. Sure. Okay.
So.
You and your wife.
She was a hot piece of ass.
She was. You were involved in a rather shady bit of business in your late 20s. Something that would seem, rather deplorable by today's standards to many
worse
of our listeners.
Worse than the cat thing, you're saying.
I'm going to say worse than the cat thing. Tell us about this.
Well, I never believed in solar energy.
Okay.
And that,
yeah, that's pretty deplorable, especially for a California man.
Well, there was something I did pretty immature when I look back on it, and
please
it was deplorable. I wasn't into solar energy. I didn't believe in it.
Okay.
But before I got in the office, a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Carter, he was into solar energy.
I see.
So it would be one thing if I didn't want to invest money into solar energy, and that's my own right.
Sure.
But if I look back on it, it's a little childish that somebody else invested into solar energy, and I went up on the roof like a fucking old maniac and took off all the solar panels.
Right.
It was immature.
That would be rather pointless.
Because now people might look back on a president. If they only had one thing to learn about him to see what a good president he was, it's childlike. if I can make fun of myself, it's like, I don't even believe in it so much, King. I'm going to. Yeah, but Mr. President, the solar panels are already up there. Why don't we just use them? They do work and it does save us money. I was, you know, rip them down.
Okay.
You know, I didn't give a fuck. And in hindsight, that's embarrassing for me.
I'm embarrassed for you.
We've all made mistakes.
So childlike. Take them down. I don't give a fuck if it's already there. I was like a crotchety old fucking immature baby.
Yes.
So what else could I have done good? A lot. But I get people that hear that one thing. They hear that one thing and they just picture me, take it down. But Mr. President, it's already up there and it's saving us money. I don't give a fuck. I don't believe in solar energy. We don't wear moccasins and run around like hippies.
Wait, but it did exist. Like, how did you not believe in it?
I thought it was foolish.
Oh, okay.
I'm embarrassed at the time. I thought, solar energy. Come on here. Stop it already. I was in cahoots with the, with the gas companies.
Whoa, what?
Electric companies.
Natural gas?
Everything. I didn't want to use anything, you know, that didn't... Right. I mean, I'm telling you now, I'm dead. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, of course. That's why we have you here.
This is why I like this stuff to come out.
Yeah,
well, I was... back then... It's funny, even now that I'm dead, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm always worried about talking about this stuff. Can we edit stuff out of here?
Oh, of course.
Later, if I think about it.
Anything you want out.
Look, as you all know, presidents, you know, we get a little bit of a kickback.
Wow.
I didn't
know.
Washington and corruption. It's pretty.
There's corruption.
Pretty
there was prevalent. Corruption back then. The Brill cream for my hair alone, which I would get for free.
From the company? Or
from people.
just constituents.
Just constituents.
Which is everyone.
Yeah, people would always shake my hand. They'd put a little Brill cream in there as they,
kind of like when the mobster guys would, you know, pass money to each other.
Thank you. You visualize it in your head. Here you go, Mr. President.
Sure, yeah. That's It's a large can of cream, though, to put into...
That was my question. Is it like a tiny tube or just like a little bit that they had gotten out of a tube?
Just a little bit. They would put it in my hand.
You would just rub it in your hair for safekeeping until later when you needed it.
Yes.
Okay.
I would just go right into the bathroom. That's why my hair always looks so good.
It always did.
That was my biggest legacy, by the way.
Oh, so far,
that head of hair.
I mean...
Even I look back.
The story that we're telling right now of your legacy, the hair is obviously one of the high points.
Well, it's all I really cared about.
But I mean, there are other things.
That's why I got away with so much stuff. Do you know that?
Oh, of course.
Because I was handsome.
Of course.
People liked it. Sure.
You were so handsome. You were in an incredible number of films.
Yeah. If I was bald, no one would fucking want to listen to half the shit I said.
Watch you.
People like people with a thick head of hair, and I knew it. I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't real.
Oh, was it real hair?
No, the barber from the White House barbershop, when he would cut everyone's hair, this is a true story.
Yeah, I'm listening.
He would take the hair from the floor and we'd stick it in my head.
He did a great job. I mean,
nobody ever knew. I had a thick head of hair with a clean part. People like people with hair.
A clean part is very important.
Sure it is. What's life if you don't have a nice
clean part? Yeah. Sure. The lumberjack that sits here.
Good for you, but no one's going to listen to you if you want to run the world.
You look good for you.
Sure. For you, it's great. For me, I was the president of the free world.
Can you name some of the other films that you were in? Just any of them. Just go ahead and list off some of the movies that you were in.
Shirley Goes to Florida.
Shirley Goes to Florida.
Florida Sees Shirley.
Florida Sees Shirley. That was the sequel.
That was the sequel. Okay. And then I was in, there's so many.
Just your favorites, if you would.
Well, I was in a movie called Super Troopers.
Troopers. I remember that one.
Well, not that one. They stole that one. Go Google it. 1946. Yes.
At the age of 36, you were you one of these troopers?
How do you know your math so well like that?
Oh, it's got to do many years of studying maths.
Well, I hope my stories are interesting.
They are. And Super Troopers, is that was that your favorite one? Are there any other films that you can name?
I was in, I used to do a lot of my own films.
Yeah, really?
Sure.
Like, just make your own movies.
Me and Nancy.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm maybe just we'll joking around. That. I just wanted to show you how to sense of humor.
You have a sense of humor. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we'll get into that.
Sure.
As I said earlier, you were married.
Okay.
And tell us about your first wife. Who was your first wife?
Lolo Brigida.
Lolo Brigida.
Lola Brigida.
Very famous actress.
Yes,
yes. Yes. How did you meet Lola?
She used to shove the kittens in the cannon.
Really? She was like a stagehand.
Well,
for
she
you.
Was back then almost like on a model for like a game show.
Sure.
Walk over there, shove the kittens
right.
in there.
She was a handler.
She was yes.
Right.
That's what we actually
right.
did call. I didn't know if that term would be.
It's pretty offensive to, I mean, to broads. Well, it's, like, you know, like...
it's like the solar panels.
Right, of course.
Lola Brigida. And then I went out with her. We got married, and that lasted not long at all.
Not long?
Not long at all.
You have children with
I
Lola?
I caught her.
You caught her doing what?
Fucking the cats.
Whoa!
All right, I made that up. I want to let you know I have a fun sense of humor.
Okay, good, yeah.
Biggest misconception.
I'm ranking cat fucking. That's the pinnacle of comedy for him.
But, and then all I remember is one of my inaugural balls, Don Rickles, did something, and that was a lot of fun. My story's going
Mr.
a little
Funny.
Out of order because
no,
of my
fine.
Memory.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm really holding on to
we'll,
that one
we'll
little
get you in there. We'll
thing.
Let's move on to your political career. In
Indiana.
Yes, that is where we are right now. Moving into your political career, you were the governor of a state. Which state were you the governor of?
Southampton.
I'm not aware of that state.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, really? Oh. So this was a special state that I don't even know where it came from. Why don't you...
Well, once my family moved there, no one else lived there. We tended to go into places where nobody lived.
You were trendsetters.
We were, and then once we moved, there was no city because we would take the Red Lobster, and they'd always move when we did.
Sure, I understand.
How upset horrible. You were in the middle of that.
Can't even.
So you became governor of Southampton.
Please never show this to anybody from the UCB, okay. So they'll see my improv
sure.
skills are
no,
fucking
no
deplorable,
problem. No problem.
And I won't break character again. Go.
So you were the governor of Southampton.
Yes.
You ran on a very interesting platform.
Yes.
A little controversial.
Yeah.
It had two main themes.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us what these two themes were. What's the first theme?
Well, one was fuck progression.
Okay. Sure. No, you don't want anyone to be better at anything.
Like back the way it used to be.
Oh, okay. Let's harken back to the old days.
Yes, and I didn't like progression.
Right.
And it was also fuck solar energy.
Oh.
I thought it was hogwash.
Wait. Fuck hogwash or fuck...
No,
no hogwash, the solar energy.
So
you know, that's the biggest, most embarrassing thing to this day. I hope you think when I'm in this room you could tell. That's the most embarrassing thing. I don't think people even are as embarrassed about it, even people that like me still. People still revere me.
Really hung up on this solar
energy.
I'll
tell you why. It was childish. It was childish.
It absolutely was.
The solar energy was already up there. It shows I was a buffoon. I was a buffoon. The people that follow me, I'd be so much happier if they went, Ronald Reagan was a good president. But they don't even acknowledge that. They act like it wasn't that big of a deal. And in the clarity that I have now that I'm dead, it was a big deal. It was foolish.
Well, I know that David and myself do not hold it against you.
You
all
should
make mistakes.
Too.
Well, we all make mistakes. David
not like that.
David's done terrible, terrible things in his life.
You mind telling me one?
Please.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, nothing as big as solar energy, but I used to... You know what? We used to have a frog pond by the house. And
yeah.
Every now and then I'd go out there with just a flat board and just whap. Just a frog.
Just
every,
frogs? Oh,
just like
dang.
One a week every
man.
Now and then
see,
I'd
that's
smack
pretty bad.
A frog.
I used to wipe my ass with hotel towels.
See, yeah, but you're the president. You can do that.
I didn't like the toilet paper. I remember thinking, you're the president of the United States. What are you using toilet paper for?
Right, right. I used to pick my nose and then put the boogers on the wall until they spelled out words, like in my bedroom. So,
but that's
I
mean, your
that's how I met Nancy.
Oh, you met Nancy with one of those courses. Correspondence.
Well, she wrote pick her nose and she wrote a heart on the thing.
Oh,
I don't even sweet. Like to talk about that. She gets embarrassed.
So anti-progression, anti-solar energy, and you won. Like you became governor of Southampton. That's
yes.
That's pretty important. And
well,
it did
sure.
springboard you into the White House, or at least the national political.
Well, to be honest with you, I never really all the stuff we just talked about when I actually ran, I never ended up using any of those sort of, you could say, campaigns to run on.
Sure.
We ran on a tight shot of my hair. We said, wouldn't you want this guy to run your country?
Old Dutch. You want Dutch's head in the White House.
It's a tight shot of my hair, and it said, vote for this hair.
Right, and people did. And
sure they did.
Yeah.
That's a true story. I wouldn't make that up. I swear to God.
I know you wouldn't. We would never question your integrity or your... I know you're a jokester, but you know we can tell.
Oh, I play a lot of pranks.
Sure. Tell us about... Bloody Thursday. It was something you were involved in.
You know what? Nancy gets so mad at me when
I know,
talk about
Nancy
that.
I know, but Nancy is not going to hear this, I can assure you.
Well, Bloody Thursday, I think it explains itself.
It really does.
Once a month.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, it became a thing. She was so mean to everybody at the White House. They would call it,
that's
it's
what
Bloody Thursday. Because Nancy... and well, of course it was.
Well,
I mean, look, it's a natural thing.
Yeah,
and I don't, you know, but when they had once a month, and they didn't have pills for it back then, so Nancy would just run around the White House yelling at everybody.
Wait, they
so
have
the servants and the
pills?
Well, I should say service. Well, they have different things.
Like Midol and things.
Midol and stuff like
for
that.
For some reason,
sure.
I thought you meant like pills to make them have period. I don't know why I thought of them. But that's
don't
ridiculous.
Be foolish.
Don't
be a dumbbell.
I'm sorry.
Nobody likes a dumbbell.
Yeah.
You eventually did run, as we said, for president of the United States.
Yes, I did.
Who did you run against?
Well, I ran against.
I know. He's kind of a. It's someone that you don't really want to mention, just because he's got this legacy of. You know, being kind of a jerk, but
yeah, I ran against Hitler.
You ran against Hitler for president.
His brother.
Oh. His brother.
Oh, not Adolf Hitler.
No, of course not.
No, his brother was so nice.
Really?
Yeah, nobody ever talked about
him. What was his first name?
Jerry.
Jerry Hitler.
Jerry Hitler. What a guy.
Yeah.
You know, I was running against him, and back then we didn't get along that well. I'd say things. Do you want to vote for a guy whose brother is Adolf Hitler?
Right.
But he was a good guy.
Now, were you a...
He's still alive.
Were you a Republican or a Democrat when you were running?
I was a Democrat.
You were a Democrat and running for president, and Hitler was the Republican.
Hitler was the Republican.
That makes sense to me, I guess.
Sure, thank God it does.
Once you were elected, you had
Jerry Hitler.
You had a couple of firsts that no other president before you could claim.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. The first one was you were the oldest man elected to the office of the presidency.
Sure.
What were some of these other firsts?
Well, first person to have a dog in the White House.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. What was the name of the dog?
Our first dog.
Our first? Oh, the,
well,
our
me
first,
and Nancy.
Yes, the first dog that you had in the White House.
Clementine.
Clement. That's a good name for a dog. Was it orange?
She was.
I see. Yeah, see, that's smart. That's smart dog naming right there.
She
I'm
was
like Dutch. I mean, come on.
They called it brown, but she was like an orangish brown.
Sure, sure. Like a golden.
She was half Great Dane, half Pekingese.
What?
Yeah, it was
really awkward.
It was basically a...
A weird-looking, like, caterpillar dog that was the color of a fish stick.
It was a... How do I say it nicely? Because I don't... She was...
You can be as rude as you like.
Well, the Pekingese had its own way with the Great Dane.
Oh,
so it's not as...
Non-consensual.
It was
not as sad.
Assault.
It's not as sad because the Pekingese, I picture so little, the Great Dane...
So if it's a little dog, then it's okay if it's assaulting a bigger dog,
maybe
right?
The Great Dane wanted it.
Ronald Reagan, cheers for the underdog, literally, in that situation.
Thank
well, in this
you.
Case, probably maybe the top dog. But Get,
really?
It was a chihuahua.
No, that's definitely the underdog.
Chihuahua.
A little, yeah.
Chihuahua.
Tell us about what happened shortly after you were elected to your first term as president. What happened on March 30th? It was maybe one of the most important events of your presidency, of the first term. It was not a Bloody Thursday, I can tell you that.
I know what you're talking about. I took a nap.
Uh-huh.
And it was a little longer than it probably should have been.
Okay. So you took it was
3 years.
I bet people, 3 years.
Yes. People thought that I'd wake up and go to the bathroom, but...
But otherwise, you're just like, I'm going to
I'm just kidding around.
What? What are you talking
about? I like the joke. I like to keep it light. Yeah, and, you know, now you see what a sense of humor I have.
Ronnie, you're the best. So what was this event that took place on March 30th?
March 30th is when we invaded...
Dave's house?
I'm seeing if you remember. Does anybody here?
Yeah. Come on, Dave, do you remember?
It was like, well, I was out and my parents were home. They talk about it, but you know,
don't
I
be silly.
It was a place. You invaded some place.
Yes.
Was another country?
We invaded.
The United States invaded another country.
Thailand.
Thailand.
Yes.
Thailand.
Sure.
Wow. From the West Side Ties.
Of course.
Wow.
Don't be a dumbbell.
I'm not.
Nobody likes a dumbbell.
You keep saying that, but you know I'm not a dumbbell, Mr. President.
Thank you very much.
So why did we invade Thailand?
for some recipes.
Oh, okay. So we just wanted
orange chicken.
Yes, we
wanted. I always loved orange chicken. And I used to go up to Chinese people and I would say, "Do you know how to make orange chicken?"
Then why did we invade Thailand?
So I could get the recipe.
Right, but it's Chinese food, not
Thai.
I
didn't know that back then.
Oh, you dumbbell. What's wrong with you? No one likes a dumbbell.
Nobody does.
Your first lady and second wife, Nancy.
Yes, Nancy.
We've mentioned her numerous times. How did you meet Nancy?
We met at the Red Lobster.
Oh,
really?
Nancy used to make the muffins.
The muffins?
Yeah.
Okay. What were in those?
Cheddar.
Oh, the Cheddar Bay muffins.
The Cheddar Bay muffins.
Okay, now I remember. Sure. Sorry.
They became biscuits later on.
Yeah,
I remember
fine,
when that
fine.
Happened.
Yeah.
In Indiana,
well, they
we well,
it's funny you say that. You guys don't miss a beat. There were muffins until I think it was like 1938.
Okay.
We changed it over to, and I'll tell you why. It's a funny story.
I'd love to hear it.
We called them muffins, but we thought biscuits sounds not as fattening.
Oh, okay. True. It's a slimming word.
It's a slimming word.
And yet,
hey, you want a muffin?
I don't remember.
What do you want a biscuit?
If we had do we have muffins?
I remember
gravy?
Being on an all biscuit diet. That's how I got this.
All and biscuit.
Because it's like you want to get slim.
He's ripped
you
under there. You wouldn't believe it. Just muscles everywhere. Just
it's all biscuits.
He works out a lot. He is. He's he does lots of pull ups. It's impressive.
Pull ups and biscuits. That's my
pull ups and biscuits, which was the first name of my first book.
So were you married to? Book.
I never actually got married to Nancy.
I'm sorry, your first wife.
Oh, my first wife, Lola Brigida.
Yes. Were you married to her when you met Nancy at the Red Lobster?
Some people's technically yes.
Okay, but there was no hanky panky going on. There was no.
Our marriage had run its course.
Okay. And then you were pretty much done with her. You're I got this new dame now.
Yes,
with the muffins.
Oh,
they were good, huh? Oh yeah, I'm sure Nancy could pack a delicious muffin into your mouth. I don't know.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Exactly. How dare you?
I'm sorry.
This is my wife you're talking about.
You know, you should be insulted or just confused.
It's okay.
You were a staunch opponent of communism in the Soviet Union.
Sure. While, I still am.
While speaking in Germany near the end of your presidency,
right.
You
take down that wall.
Exactly it. Mr. Gorbachev, and then what did you say?
Take down that wall,
Take
Mr.
Down that
Gorbachev.
Wall. What was the significance of that? Just why were you ordering this Mr. Gorbachev to tear down a wall? What was the significance?
It was ugly.
Oh, okay. So just for aesthetic person.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just wanted to be prettier here.
I like
in
it
Germany.
To be nicer.
In communist Germany.
In communist Germany.
Fine. That's totally fine. Nothing wrong with that. A wall.
Not gonna lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest mistake I ever made.
Tearing down that wall or telling him to tear down the wall?
Telling him.
Right.
The way I did it.
Oh, you were kind of bossing him around.
Take down that wall.
Yeah.
It could have been a little nicer.
Yeah.
Could have been like, hey, let's take down the wall.
You ended up being, I mean, not friends, but still close acquaintances.
Sure.
He came to your funeral.
He did come to my funeral.
He did, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I was very touched.
Were you?
Well, yeah, because, you know, he always wanted that muffin recipe. Biscuits.
Some
people say
now.
He tried to pry it out of my hands in my coffin, but
we've mentioned this numerous times.
What?
Your Alzheimer's, unfortunately. We know that you suffered from Alzheimer's, leading you to step back from the spotlight once your presidency ended, once you left the White House. So, Mr. President, what was your last public appearance? What were you out and about in public for, where the people could see you?
My last public appearance was the opening of the Red Lobster.
Oh, a new Red Lobster.
Mm-hmm.
Where was this Red Lobster?
Philadelphia.
Oh, they have a good one there.
It's still their what do you call it? Their
flagship flagship Red Lobster. It's the Ronald Reagan Memorial Red Lobster.
How did you know that word I was searching for?
Because I've eaten there numerous times, and it says right on the front, flagship.
I'm sorry to bring back the Red Lobster
much. No. We Dave and I are huge fans.
Love it.
Lobster Fest, one of our favorite times of year. Every year.
Yeah,
lobster.
Yeah,
there's nothing better than lobster.
There really isn't.
You ever have schlopster?
Wait, no. What? Is that Shecky Green? Did he come up with that?
Nancy used to make it.
Oh,
it was my favorite dish.
Nancy made you schlopster?
Schlopster.
What were the ingredients?
Well, it's lobster, but not a lot of it, and then a lot of saltines.
Oh, just crackers and lobster.
She'd call it schlopster. Oh, it was so delicious.
That's the best meal I've ever heard of.
I would eat it.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of sauce that goes on top of it? Or
just lobster.
Oh, okay. Just schlobster.
Schlobster.
I want a schlobster sandwich.
A little bit of lobster, a lot of salt.
She would make she would take the schlobster. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. She would take the schlobster and put it on the cheddar biscuits.
Muffins.
Schlobster schlopster biscuits.
Yeah.
She called them cheddar schlopster biscuits.
I see, I see. We're coming to the end of your story now, and unfortunately we have to discuss your unfortunate demise. So let's start at the beginning and tell me, what was the date of your death? When did you die?
2001.
2001, a month and date as well?
Well, of course. I died 2001. It was a Monday.
A Monday.
January 13th.
January 13th, 2001. And how did you die? What did you die of? What did you succumb to?
Well, at the end, it was basically Alzheimer's.
Just Alzheimer's disease took over and...
And my faculties started to go.
Yeah, of course, of course. It's very unfortunate. And if our listeners...
Sorry to be so sad.
Oh, no. We brought it up. We bring it up. Yeah. It's part of the show.
But I had a good life.
If our listeners wanted to go and pay their respects to you and your legacy, where would they do that? Where would your remains
be? I'd rather people just think about me in their house.
I'm sure you would.
I don't have to go to a tombstone where I'm not there anymore, just my rotted body. Well, so I prefer people would look at a picture of me at their house when I was at my best and think of the things I did that they like, rather than having to drive all the way out to Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, is that where your body
is? That's where my body is, right next to my library.
Oh, next to the Ronald Reagan... Presidential Library? Is that what you're saying?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Just people to find a picture and think of me and have good thoughts.
I can't think of a better legacy for a man as great as you. Mr. President, thank you so much for joining us today. We've learned a lot about your legacy.
Can you put a little of that presidential music in post as we
lay it under? I promise you I will.
I'd like you to lay it under the, what do you call this that you do here?
It's called a podcast.
Podcast.
Yes, yes.
I wasn't for solar energy, and I'm not for this either.
Yeah, well...
But I like what you're doing.
We understand, and we'll let you get back to your faculties now. And please, enjoy eternity.
Thank you. What don't they have got for majority? Cause some people in the real world, neither is that folk on the side. Not a step, you're on. I say, Tyler, you come up on the news. Anybody press on the studio cool. You don't say, don't let it rock. It's not a step, you're on. I try to say, God, the son of a bunny. We're here with our guest today, the very funny Todd Glass is here. You've been in town at the Comedy Attic this whole weekend. Loving it.
And you're going to be recording your podcast later tonight.
I am.
Plug that. Tell people how they can listen to
when
that.
When does this go on?
It'll probably be up in a few weeks. So.
Oh, but they won't. It'll be too late to hear the podcast. Oh, my podcast back in L.A.
Yeah, the Todd Glass show.
It's, you know, all I try to do on my show, it is very silly. It's very fun. I love it every single week. It is pure joy for me to do. Because you just get together with friends. I try to create an atmosphere that is very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I try, once in a while I'll do something and I apologize right away where I judge somebody. I'll go, no.
True.
I don't want to do that because that's not going to make somebody comfortable if I judge them. Right. So, you know, you judge them kiddingly. You know, they do with something and you go, ah. But just try to have this relaxed atmosphere where people can come and we can play for 3 hours. It's called the Todd Glass Show. And it's a
long podcast, long form. 3 hours, like you said. But
you know,
it's good.
Thank you. The funny thing about podcasts are it was the first thing. Podcasts basically, some people might not have broken it down this much, but it's radio without the purity of stand-up.
And less music, no commercials.
Yeah, so it's all of a sudden...
Well, few commercials.
Yeah, there's virtually none.
Right.
Unless, you know, they can go 15 seconds past They go...
Yeah,
hit it three times.
Squarespace, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, Stamps. Bang, bang, fuck them.
Yeah.
Not fuck Squarespace, fuck
no,
any.
I understand.
I'd rather work my ads into the show. But stand up's pure, and that's why people love it. And all of a sudden, this vehicle comes along that takes radio and gets rid of the middleman.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's fun to do.
Yeah, and you've been doing stand up for
30 years.
30 years?
I started in high school.
Yeah, in Philadelphia,
literally,
right?
In Philadelphia, in 10th grade.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. You know, the other day, and I'll apply this to you guys too, because, you know, you do stand-up and you do stand-up.
Correct, yeah.
And I was sitting around going, I've never, with my friends like a month ago, I've never done anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, got ready for a run, you know, a big Y2K or whatever they fucking call it.
A Y2K run.
2KY.
Y2K run.
Or, you know what I mean? Or
a 5K.
5K, yes. Or ran up a mountain, or, you know what I mean? Or people that do these things, and then I go, I've never done anything like
that. They work towards...
Yeah, they have these things they do. They have a regular job, and maybe they do that, or maybe they have this. My friend goes, Rory Scovel. He goes, Todd, you moved to L.A. to do comedy. I go, I didn't even try to act like. Well, I went, oh my god, fucking thank you. I did do something.
right.
I fucking did something.
Yeah.
So I felt good.
That's awesome. You've got, I think three CDs that people can get on iTunes and stuff like that?
My first CD, I'm not kidding you. I know you always grow. I'm so mortified. I've called Sirius. They're so nice. And XM, the people that work there are so cool. They're like, yeah, we'll pull it for you.
Just to know you ever want anybody to hear
it
again.
Well, Vintage Todd Glass and other crap. The other, well, why am I even bringing it up? Well, maybe because somebody has it and I can apologize.
Maybe, yeah.
Vintage Todd Glass is like 15 minutes or 20 minutes of stand-up.
Right.
And then the other crap is like bits and stuff. And they're so if I could set it up, then I wouldn't be embarrassed about it. If I go, this was done in the garage with friends where I didn't have enough material for a CD, so we did these silly bits. And if you go into it knowing that, then I'm not embarrassed.
It's kind of like, as a musician, like I used to play music a lot, and so did David, but you know, that first band you're in, you know, when you hit, you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe I ever did that. Like, it's just, it's crazy.
I really want to hear that album, though, now, to be honest. Like, I want to hear the sketches.
You're on Twitter. Is it at?
At Todd Glass.
Todd Glass. And you are notorious on Twitter. I'm sure you know that. For the pussy stuff.
There's a little story behind that. The way it started, first of all, I'm mortified because I did these ads for the Cheesecake Factory, like little online 15-second things. And they were great. Uh-huh. First of all, and also, I've never really, you get there in the morning, and we had to do these 15-second things before Cheesecake Factory opened. But they had the whole kitchen staffed. Whatever we wanted, they would bring it out. Then they had spit buckets for me. This all leads to my Twitter.
Right, right.
They had spit buckets for me. But at first, you know, when you're putting like some just food that's come piping hot fresh out of the kitchen, melted cheese or whatever it is, or delicious muffins, it's hard to spit them out. So then you're just eating it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you go, oh my God, I'm like crazy stuffed. And we're 1 hour into the shoot.
Sure.
It's going to be 9. So I started using the spit bucket. But they go, well, we want you, I was going to retweet some of the tweet, you know, the 15-second little promos.
Right.
They let me do whatever I wanted. They were great. But then they asked me if I could maybe push the pussy tweets down a little. So, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I get it. I totally get it. You know? Like, go down there and just, I go, I can. I go, believe me, I would love to do it because, you know, you guys have been really cool. I did funny little 15-second things.
Yeah.
Some are cute. Some are funny. Yeah. Some are probably more cute, which is not a good thing.
But they don't want to be associated with pussy.
And I understand it. So I go, I can't. The guy, the middle person was like, he's the one who I dealt with. He goes, Todd, just try to, like, push him down, which would mean tweet something. I go, Darren, do you want to see what's going to happen if I try to push these pussy tweets down? You know what I mean? I go, watch this. I go, what a nice day. That's like, all I wrote.
Oh, for pussy.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, of course.
I go, I can't stop it.
People
there's no
just,
way.
Yeah, attack you.
I tweeted some famous poet just to prove, like some, I forget what it was, but it was brilliant poet line about life and how and just a great line from a poet of
just
clarity,
like
of
blasting some T.S. Eliot.
Yeah, they go, oh yeah, but did they get as much pussy as you? So the joke became, I'll go quick on this. I was in Washington D.C. and a friend of mine took my phone and he wrote, I'm all coked up and looking for pussy. Where I'm all coked up, I got a bag of coke and I'm looking for pussy.
Sure.
Can anybody help me?
Right.
I didn't know he did it.
Right.
So all of a sudden I start looking at my Twitter feed and I'm like, what? And he starts cracking up hysterically. I'm like, Daniel, you can't do that. But then it was funny. Then I couldn't stop doing it. I was
And
the people that tweet it get it. It's not really about pussy. It is
no,
not.
Of course
it has
not.
To do with that. This guy says he gets pussy, but he doesn't. But then there's an army of people that decided to lie for him. To me, that's the joke.
Yeah,
they go,
yeah.
Oh, Todd Glass, he had 30 pussies the other night. Like, who says that?
Pussies.
You know, oh, Todd Glass, he loves pussy. Like, yeah, you know, and then they take old, you know, things like, you know, it's not what you could do for your country, but what your...
Ask not what your pussy can do for you,
but what
you can
do
for
your pussy.
I see, the thing that I love about it is just the amount of silliness.
It's,
and then people get offended by it. You're just like, but yeah, it's just this stupid thing.
You know what?
Like, why are you getting so mad?
Nobody's ever got offended about it, except even the Cheesecake Factory, like the corporate people there. They got it, and I even told them the backstory of how it started.
It's not like Gilbert Gottfried getting fired over Fukushima or anything.
No. It was just that I would be more afraid that, not that people would be offended, that they would just think, what is this about? Like, why is everything, like, you know? And then once I explain it, then I feel like, oh, okay, I see how it started.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't do it. Let me tell you something. I tell everyone, when I read them, I fucking crack up laughing.
Oh, yeah.
That 95% of the people that tweet them, I don't know how they understand the little joke and how to do it and how to push my funny button. But then I don't retweet them because then I'm afraid that I have to put this thing to rest. But then
right,
I
right, right.
But then I read.
You
one
don't want this to be your legacy.
I don't want it to be my thing. Like I'm walking through the airport and somebody goes, "Pussy."
30 years in the business, and now all of a sudden I'm the pussy guy.
Yeah, I'm the pussy guy. But well, it is funny.
Well, check out Todd. Go and see a show. You were here. You did 5 shows this weekend.
I'm loving it.
They were amazing.
I will tell you this, that I'm not joking around. Like if I complain like everybody else, but when things are right, I like to give them the same amount of time.
Sure.
The Comedy Attic is just, if people don't understand why that place is so great, because maybe they've never been to another comedy club.
Yeah, perhaps.
And I hope you don't take, Jared doesn't take this the wrong way. It's not because it's a fancy club. There's clubs that are $3 million clubs. That's not what makes you love a club. Sure that's a bonus.
Yeah.
It's the bones of a club, the guts of the club.
Very much.
Jared fucking respects comedy like the theater, like the opera. He looks at it like it's the opera. And that's why he trains the audiences. Don't heckle. Don't do this. He just loves comedy. He wants people to like, it's endearing. Like when I'm sitting around, he goes, Todd, I would give anything in the world if the crowds would just show up on time.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know, because he wants to get the show started on time and not make people wait. And then, so it's just pure joy to work at that club. And every comedian back in L.A. says that. They're like, oh, the Comedy Attic.
You know, could not find a person to say a bad thing about the place.
It's because he's taken the time to, you know, the audiences, and they're great, and they're patient, and they're, if you get lost a little bit, they don't say it, but their attitude, I say they're like, they're nurturing. Yeah. They're like, they'll just be with you. Once they decide they like you, that's okay.
Yeah. We're gonna,
and that just makes, you know, a week, like pure joy. And then you get the comedians hanging out with everybody.
Yeah.
I would love to just take 2 weeks here and just consider it my vacation.
Yeah, yeah. And just do the open mic, just regular. Yes. Just show up, do your 5 minutes, get off stage.
And then just hang out with everybody 2 weeks.
We have a good time. We have a good time. Well, again, thank you so much for being on here. We're going to go back through and see how you did and get the real story of Mr. Ronald Reagan.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And again, I
Jared
really
Thompson,
do apologize.
Whom we mentioned, you just mentioned, the owner of the Comedy Attic, he suggested that I make you portray yourself.
I know, that's what I
but he just told me to do that, but he didn't know we were recording. Jared, when he was on, we gave him Walter Cronkite. And he answered every question as if he were Snoop Dogg.
So thanks for not doing that.
So please, that don't ever do that. It's the worst.
You know what, though? I like that Jared did that. You know why? Because if I knew enough about one person, remember what I said?
Right.
I don't know enough about anybody.
Right, right.
So you got to know a shit ton about Snoop Dogg.
Right.
And then answer every question.
He sat on his phone reading his Wikipedia like page and just answering questions as if he were Snoop Dogg. It was, and
he
thought you were going to do that, and I was like, "Please, I hope
no, but I like that he did that." Actually,
Ronald Reagan, how do you think you did? How many?
Well, I didn't try to get it right most of the time.
Well, sure, yeah.
So if I didn't know anything, like I tried to guess his death, I was probably the closest thing I was at.
Yeah, yeah, but
his
like
death.
But you had a good time. Like you were just being funny.
Yeah, I was just decided.
That's the goal.
Right.
That's
remember how I said I wanted to set up my comp vintage Todd Glass and other crap?
Yes.
That's how I feel like I would want to set up this to go. I don't know so little about history that
exactly.
It was hard to pull from anywhere. But I tried not to break character.
You didn't. I can tell you right now that you did not do the worst.
Okay.
We've ever had.
You know who did the worst?
You.
I think
say.
A guy who's going to be on your show tonight.
Tom Brady.
You gave him the Marquis de Sade, knew nothing.
Yeah, he got a 0. So
no, he got a 1, I think.
Oh, he got
gave
a 1.
Him a 1.
Was I supposed to try to get close?
You can do either one. Because
I should tell everyone, just so you know. Now, by the way, if I tried to get close, I don't know if it would have gotten any closer at all.
Right, right.
But I didn't know that I was even supposed to try to get
close. It
doesn't
matter.
But the closest
it's
close?
It's a little history lesson. So you give your side of the story, we give the real side of the story. And if they match up, you get points. If they don't, it doesn't matter. The points mean nothing. So
they are meaningless.
Ronald Reagan was born February 6th, 1911, so very close there.
Holy shit.
About a year off. He was born in Tampico, Illinois, so another president from Illinois. They've had a bunch. He was nicknamed Dutch as a young boy. His father nicknamed him that due to his, quote, fat little Dutchman-like haircut, end quote. That's his.
Wait. It was based on the hair. Did you say based on the hair? No, you said because of the dog.
No,
and the
he said it was based on the dog's hair because the dog's hair looked like his hair. Dave is our scorekeeper. He'll decide.
I'll think about that one.
Many of our listeners know your work in film. Of course, Mr. Reagan was a prolific actor. He was in like 80 or 90 films.
I didn't know. I don't know one of his films.
Love
Bedtime
is on
for
the
Bongo
Air
is the one I remember.
Was his first film. Here's the synopsis of that. A reckless radio commentator, Andy McLeod, gets into trouble when he attacks a corrupt city government. like Reagan would, whereupon his boss disciplines him by forcing him to host an innocuous kiddie program.
Where they shot cats out of cannons.
Yes, that sounds accurate for me. This is absolutely a point, I think, sort of. he was the president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Oh, that's a point. That's definitely
which,
a point.
It was an American labor union representing over 100,000 film and television principal and background performers worldwide, all over the world. And now, as you mentioned, it's something different, right? It's
They merged, I think.
Yeah, they merged with the with producers and writers and things like that. So you got a SAG card, right?
Sure.
Yeah, see? So there
you go.
Look
at me.
While in Hollywood, he and his wife were involved in some kind of shady business. During the late 40s, Reagan and his wife provided the FBI with names of actors within the motion picture industry whom they believed were communist sympathizers. He expressed reservations about it and said, do they expect us to constitute ourselves as a little FBI of our own and determine just who is a commie and who isn't? Reagan was just a huge opponent of communism, and so he worked with the House Un-American Activities Committee to find communists in Hollywood and was influential in creating the blacklist. So all these people that weren't allowed to work in Hollywood because they were suspected communists. Or
I hate
they
to
were.
Ask this, but I'm going to. What is a communist, basically?
It's a person that believes...
I know the term. I get it.
In
but
the tenets of... Everybody gets the same amount. Everybody is taken care of the same.
Oh, okay.
It's
and that's
the
good...
powers of the top. You pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you help your brother. If you've got food, so do they. Everyone gets the same amount, basically.
That's basically socialism, and communism
right.
is closely related to that, but I'm not even sure.
Communism... Look, again, I know we're running out of time here, but communism... And again, I'm educating myself. I'm always paranoid someone out there would be like... People can understand you don't know certain stuff, but I'm always afraid they'll be like, oh, man, that? Come on, Todd.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest injustices in society today, in American society, is that people are fucking so terrified to say, I don't know.
Like, especially as you get older,
sometimes. There's nothing wrong with being like, I don't know what that is.
You know what it is for me? If it was somebody, if I was talking to somebody after a show that was like, let's say a doctor, and I didn't know something about an operation, that I wouldn't be embarrassed at all because I shouldn't know it.
Yeah.
With this, I feel like, okay, Todd, even if you're shitty at history, you should know what a fucking communist is. But I don't.
But there's no, I mean, it's not going to save your life or anything. But,
by the way, a communist, it would probably be, there could be something interesting about just, we don't have to have any starving people if you live that life.
Well, but it
but we still
it's
do.
It's one of those political ideologies that's great on paper and has never been put into practice properly.
Right.
So, I mean, Cuba is still a practicing communist nation. China kind of is. So.
The idea is like you give what you can and you take what you need. That's the basic tenet of socialism.
Exactly.
And communism, I think, is the economic
side of it. Yeah.
This is just my guess. This is what I've gleaned from things.
Reagan was in lots of movies. Tell me how many of these sound like pornos. Okay. This is just a list of the movies he was in. She's Working Her Way Through College.
Porno.
Dark Victory. Newt Rockne All-American. King's Row. Girls on Probation, Cowboy from Brooklyn, The Amazing Dr. Clitterhouse, John Loves Mary, The Hasty Heart, Bedtime for Bonzo, Cattle Queen of Montana, Tennessee's Partner, Hellcats of the Navy, and The Killers. The Amazing Dr. Clitterhouse. How that's not a porn, I don't know. That's
picture that porn.
I would say a quarter of those sounded like porns.
His first wife, Jane Wyman.
Suck my dick, Nancy.
Suck that dick, Nancy. His first wife, Jane Wyman, was an actress in the 30s and 40s. They ended up getting divorced because of a difference in political opinion. Ronald Reagan was a Democrat when he first got into politics, and even as an actor, and Wyman was not. So they disagreed heavily on that. So they ended up, they had three children. One child died the day after it was born, and that and their political differences, that ended their relationship. He met Nancy Reagan shooting a film. And they ended up reconnecting when she called him while he was the president of the Screen Actors Guild to find out why she was on the blacklist of communists. And apparently there was another Nancy Davis. But, she was like, why am I on this communist blacklist? And he figured it out. I was like, oh, no, it's fine.
He was like, let's discuss it over dinner.
Let's discuss it over dinner.
Let's go out.
He was the governor of California for
I think I did
three terms. Yeah, well, Southampton's not a state. You know that, right?
Yeah, Southampton is where I grew up in Philadelphia. That was the neighborhood I lived in, or the town.
He ran on a very interesting platform, which had two main themes. The first one was, quote, to send the welfare bums back to work, end quote. And in reference to growing anti-war and establishment student protests at the University of California at Berkeley, quote, to clean up the mess at Berkeley. That's what he ran on, to get rid of these protesters and to get rid of welfare. And he did. He dumped everything that he had into that, and people loved it, and they voted for him because of it. Bloody Thursday was a high-profile conflict and a protest at UC Berkeley in People's Park. Reagan sent the California Highway Patrol and other officers to quell the protests, and in that incident, which became known as Bloody Thursday, it resulted in the death of a student named James Rector and the blinding of a carpenter named Alan Blanchard. Reagan then called 2,200 National Guard troops to occupy the city of Berkeley for 2 weeks to prevent these people from protesting.
And you know what? That's why that thing with the obviously with the solar panels.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know enough about Ronald Reagan when he was in office. Yeah. I probably knew what a lot of people knew. He held court really well. He made speeches, and I was young and I didn't understand. But when I found that about the White House with the solar panels and about this with, you know, obviously every time there's protesters, there's certain people that are going to come in there and just take advantage of the situation, and they're just, but there's so many people that protest to make this world a better place, and he was anti that. And just knowing alone, and if the solar panel thing is true, it made me realize what could, and he wouldn't say AIDS in office. He said it one time.
Right.
It's so childlike. It is
He's
so,
one of those people that had, sometimes he had really good intentions.
It's so baby-like that when I found out that, I still love talking about it. It's like, they're already up there, Mr. President, and they are saving us money. Rip them down.
Yeah. Oh, that was
what
real?
What are you, fucking a crotchety old? Yeah, that was real.
That was real.
And some people go, all right, Todd, it's not that big of a deal. If it represents who you are in other areas.
Yeah.
If it represents who you are in other areas, then, you were just like a crotchety old dumb fuck.
Yeah.
Take it down. It's already up there. You don't have to put a penny into it. Rip it off. What are you, a fucking baby?
Why? Yeah, that's weird. I assumed you were making that
up. No, that was the only thing I knew about him. I found it out 2 years ago. Meanwhile, Jimmy Carter was walking around the White House in a sweater, and everyone said that wasn't a good idea. He said, tell people, lower your energy. But they thought it made it look like the world was in – you don't want to tell the world we're in trouble.
Exactly.
Now, in hindsight, I think, Jimmy Carter was probably on the right track.
Which one of them won a Nobel Peace Prize? Jimmy Carter.
That's Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. So after the protests of Bloody Thursday, Reagan was quoted as saying, quote, if it takes a bloodbath, let's get it over with. No more appeasement, end quote. The guy was a fucking monster. I mean, he was just like, go in there, kill them all if you have to, but I want it stopped. Get it over with as quick as possible.
It's a monster.
He eventually ran for president of the United States. He ran against Jimmy Carter, who was the 39th president of the United States. And like I said, he won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2002. He's the only U.S. president to ever do that after he left office.
Wait. Obama won it.
Obama won it while he was in office,
He could be – President Carter could be the president that has done more on his own as far as serving the public in the history of this world, maybe?
One-termer.
Could it be the history of the world?
Perhaps, yeah.
Building the homes and being
– He's a huge humanitarian.
He just said – I saw a quote someone tweeted me. Stop saying you want to live in a world that's based on Christian values when you don't want to give back to poor. He goes, stop saying it because you don't.
No, it's okay
if you don't, but fucking stop saying you do. Fucking stop saying
to
you do.
To this date, Reagan
he didn't
is
say
the...
fucking.
Yes, you can.
He didn't say fucking.
He didn't. Oh, he didn't. To this date, Reagan is the oldest man elected to the presidency at 69 years old when he went into office, and he's the only president ever elected who was divorced. So, and he had a bunch of firsts like that. On March 30th, shortly after he was elected in 1981, 69 days into his new administration, Reagan, his press secretary, a police officer, and a Secret Service agent were shot by random gunfire from would-be assassin John Hinckley Jr. Although close to death upon arrival at George Washington Hospital, Reagan was stabilized in the emergency room and had surgery. He recovered and was released from the hospital April 11th, so almost 2 weeks, and he became the first serving U.S. president to survive being shot in an assassination attempt. Yeah, people didn't like him so much. Republicans and conservatives and people that were making a ridiculous amount of money from the new tax codes. Loved him. Anyone else? Hated him. I mean, so it was very, very divisive.
Yeah, it's a shame because if you loved him and loved everything he stood for, well, first of all, I don't want to see anyone die. So.
Sure, of course.
But it would have been something more fun to see someone who was fucking out there fighting for what you believed in and doing good things socially. Yeah. Then someone shoots him and he's like,
"Yeah,
that's no way, motherfucker.
Yeah. You're not going to kill me like that.
Yeah,
bastard.
I'm fucking up and we're fine."
He met Nancy Reagan, as I said, during this phone call to find out about the blacklist. She called Ronald Reagan Ronnie. That was her pet name, mm-hmm. and he affectionately called Nancy Mommy. That was his pet name for it.
Even as a kid, I thought that was messed up.
He was a staunch opponent of communism. This is definitely a point. Standing at the gate of the Berlin Wall, saying, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." General Secretary Gorbachev.
Let me ask one question.
Yes, please.
Mommy sounds weird, but I do know sometimes like a dad will call the mom.
Or mother or
He'll
something.
He'll go, yeah. All right, mom, let's go.
But no, this is mommy.
Mommy. Like,
yes. Hey, mommy.
Hey, mommy.
Lick them balls, mommy. I don't know why I had that. So gross.
Yeah, I don't know why that happened.
He did suffer from Alzheimer's disease. He had to step out of the public eye because of it. His last public appearance was at the funeral for Richard Nixon on April 27th, 1994. It was the last time he was in the public eye. He was pretty much a recluse for 10 years after that.
Did he acknowledge his
Alzheimer's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a big to-do. He did like he wasn't in the Oval Office, obviously, but he did a video that was, "I am one of the millions of people that suffer from Alzheimer's, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
See ya.
Well, that was courageous.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. He died of pneumonia, complicated by Alzheimer's disease, of course, at his home in Bel Air, California, on the afternoon of June 5th, 2004. His remains.
Close again.
Yeah, pretty close. I mean, you said 2001.
Yeah,
so 3 years off. Not too bad. At the presidential library where he's buried, his tomb, the exterior of the horseshoe-shaped monument is inscribed with the words, "I know in my heart that man is good and that what is right will always eventually triumph, and there is purpose and worth to each and every life."
That's funny. That's a brilliant statement.
Yeah.
He just didn't know how to sometimes do it.
Exactly.
Because sometimes when you have to do that, you can't do it with what he was doing.
And that's the story of our friend Ronald Reagan. You want to go ahead and tabulate the score? So four, 20%. Out of 100?
Didn't he run on a battle? I thought he ran on the campaign of a pussy in everybody's pocketbook.
A pussy in every pot.
A pussy in every pot. What's the real quote?
Everyone should have a pocket pussy.
It's a chicken in every pot. And
who said that?
I can't remember who it was.
Well, somebody,
but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
A pussy in every pot.
A pussy in every pot and a Chrysler in every garage.
And a Chrysler in your
butt.
A Chrysler in your butt. Could we end the podcast with "and a Chrysler in your butt"?
No, we can't. Our guest was Mr. Todd Glass. Man, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I know that you were very busy this weekend, and it was hell. I mean, just it was the first night, I was just like, please come and do this. You're like, yeah, I'll think about it. And then the next night, you were just like, yeah, we'll do it tomorrow around this time. And then the next day, it was, okay, at this time, we're going to be there, but I got to go to Target first, so... Thank you for taking
the time, man.
It really, really meant a lot to us.
Oh, I appreciate that.
You can find out more about David Britton by going to davidbrittoncomedy.com and watching videos and stuff like that. Todd Glass is just toddglass.com.
Toddglass.com. Got a new book coming out, Simon & Schuster, in April. So look for that.
And a new show, yeah?
I have a new show, which we might be changing where it's at. So
all right. Well, great.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned to that. And if you're a fan of Todd, you know where to find him, at Todd Glass on Twitter and everything else. You see him in live and go have a good time. Dave is on Twitter, at Lasersaurus. I'm on Twitter, at Salt Gravy. You can find out more about History Bluffs by going to historybluffs.podomatic.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Please, if you liked this, check out our past episodes with guests like Jackie Cation and Graham Elwood and Ben Moore and Tom Brady and a bunch of other really funny people. If you like them, write a review and rate us stars. And we want to get into some of that stamps.com money. That's what but thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with a new episode of History Bluffs.
History Bluffs.
History Bluffs.
Goodbye.
History Bluffs.